Hey everyone, I'm Mark DeGrasse, and this is the In the Garage podcast with CarParts.com. Today I have Robin Delgado, and we're taking a trip down memory lane, talking about the vehicles that we loved and lost in some circumstances. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, so I think we all have a story or two about something that we, you know, a car that we sold or that we destroyed. which one were you thinking when we talked about this subject?
You know what, there's very many in my life.
Oh, but, really?
I think... To start off, one of the most important cars that I think now I wish I had was my dad had a old Toyota Corona Deluxe Mark II. Ooh. It's not even the Corolla, it's the Corona.
The Corona.
Yeah. So late 70s or so, old bucket, you know, poor family. Mom wanted something better, progressed for the family. Dad ended up getting rid of it by the time I came of age to being able to drive. It was no longer in the family. So, you know, years later, I was kind of like, I wish we had that car back in the family. You know, I would have kept it. But, you know, that's one for the ages, right? It's just old and nostalgia. But recently I had an opportunity where things changed in my life. Mm. And I had a second generation Dodge Ram 1500. Nice V8 Magnum gas powered engine in there. Not the diesel, but still nice. 4x4 lifted on 6-inch body lift and 35-inch nice. Tires, four-wheel drive. And circumstances changed in my life where I had to let it go. Mm. And, you know, I lost that. And I was thinking I'll just grab another truck later. But things changed back in my life where I was able to go and afford to get it back. And I knew the gentleman I sold it to, so I tried recovering it. And 30 days later, I'm asking for, hey, I'd like to buy my truck back. And he said, yeah, sure, let me think about that. You know, he didn't want to say no directly because he's a friend of mine. Yeah. So I offered him, you know, $500 over what I sold it to him for. And he said no. You know, I gave him $1,000. I'm like, I'll give you $1,000 just 30 days ago. I just, you know, sold it to you for this much. And he thought about it and said no. So we kept going up the ladder there until about $2,000. And I thought about it and I said, you know, $2,000 just for 30 days later, like that's not right, you know. So he really wanted to keep it. I lost it, and I regretted it 30 days later. You know, that's a short one.
Well, if it makes you feel better, it sounds like he really liked that car before you sold it to him.
You know, I didn't think of it that way in the beginning, and then I saw him in other activities, and I realized the truck was beautiful, and I always liked it every time I saw it, and I said, it's probably the right person to go to if he was gonna. Who's going to be the one to keep it.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. Because, you know, it may, if he, as long as he loves the car as much as you did, you know, or do, then could be worse.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, for sure.
He could keep upgrading it or changing it.
Yeah, you know what? I discovered another vehicle that I got into and I like a lot more. Mm. Now, because I lost that truck, you know, so I'm actually currently building a third generation Toyota 4Runner.
Oh, nice.
So I'm trying to get into the overland cool. scene there. Yeah, so again, like I said, something good came out of it, at least in my personal life. I know where it went. Good house, good home, good family. And with my new project with the Toyota 4Runner, it's pretty much my new hobby right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah well, and that's a neat hobby. Everybody who does it seems to really enjoy it, and you know, gets to be with nature, plus you still gotta drive fun cars. So
you know what, I'm actually dabbling, not only that, but I'm actually dabbling into the suspension side of things. Right. So I've had a couple cars where the projects have been more into the mechanical engine swaps and stuff like that, but now I'm into to like you said, the outdoor. So the overlanding is more about the suspension as well, reliability, but also more of the setup for the outdoor. So I've learned a lot, and I've had endless and sleepless nights, right? bruised knuckles and just cursed up a storm, and a lot of research too.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. Wow. And at the end of it, you get to take a trip with it and go somewhere cool, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, had a good trip up to Oregon. I've had it. I've gone out to Arizona, down to Mexico.
Nice.
In fact, one of the coolest trips I had was when I first bought it. I saw it online and I had lost the second gen Dodge Ram. And I said, okay, I'm gonna look for my next adventure. So I looked for that Toyota 4Runner. Mm. It was online. It was in Bakersfield. So a buddy of mine, I called him. I said, hey, can you come help me? We drove up there, took for a test drive, looked underneath the chassis, offered him some cash. And said, okay, we got it. And we drove it straight into Mexico, down into Baja.
Wow.
That day. Proof. Bulletproof. Yeah.
give it a shot or test it out, do the real experiment.
Yeah, exactly.
And you made it back.
Yeah, the Toyota keeps running.
Yeah. You don't have to worry that much.
But, no. There's
I had a 4Runner too, and an FJ.
An FJ. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
FJs
nice.
Are awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, that's probably one for me that got away that I was like, man, I really enjoyed that car. It was practical in the way that like you could fit anything in the back because
yeah.
It was like very rectangular. And so it was kind of like having a truck. Plus, it was quick. Plus, it wasn't that big, so you could still drive it like a car instead of a truck. So
and maybe back then, gas was a lot better than it is today, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the gas mileage was 14 or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Well, that's better than my old Dodge, though.
What was the old Dodge?
I had, I think on a highway, I was getting about 8 miles to the gallon. And
on the freeway?
Yeah. Oh, and wow. And on the city, I was getting about 6.
So you just filled up like every other day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I mean, I took that thing to Death Valley.
What?
You know, yeah. I went camping out there for about a week and I mean, guess I just throw some more in the truck of the bed, you know?
Container. You just take some tanks and you're good to go.
Yeah, keep going.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So you were already into some of the, overlanding before you got the 4Runner?
Yeah, that's kind of why I was willing to let it go when I first got rid of the second gen Dodge because, it didn't have rear lockers or any kind of lockers on the differential.
Oh, yeah.
So I was kind of like, I need something a little better. And I was on the fence and the gas mileage was not the best, but it did everything I needed. And so when I got rid of it, I did kind of already knew that I was heading into a better, more reliable, more gas friendly vehicle. So the 4Runner was the next runner up for me on that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. So were there any other vehicles where you kind of thought like, oh, I should have done something differently?
Yeah. I mean, I think my first official vehicle, my personal vehicle, was a 1989 Nissan Sentra.
Oh, yeah.
Old square body, baby powder blue, you know, like a 64 Impala.
Oh, yeah.
Baby powder blue. But again, I was younger. I didn't have the funds or the location to be able to do some upgrades on it. But I had the idea and I had the car, right? Mm. I had to get rid of that car. And then like now as I'm a little older, I kind of wish I kept that because, you know, it's a square body, you know, those square bodies look really nice now. Yeah.
Well, I think that's, it's hard though, because it's like, there's definitely a situation where you have to get rid of the car to get the next car or that car just not practical and serving purposes anymore.
Yeah. You know, the more I see my cars kind of turn over in my life, I kind of like to liken that into stashing cookies in your cookie jar.
Mm.
The more you get into a different platform, the more cookies you put in your cookie jar for when you have to pull a cookie out of that cookie jar. And now you're more resourceful, right? Information, knowledge, different platforms. You can help friends, right?
Like that.
So, yeah, I've learned a lot through painfully getting rid of some of those cars that I wish I wouldn't have.
Yeah, but you know, I think pain is part of growth, right?
It's growth, correct?
It has to hurt, otherwise nothing would change.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing. Sometimes it's like, yeah, your situation just changes, and I think that's with kind of reflects your finances or where you are in your career or whatever it is, where you have to make that decision then. And even though it doesn't feel right, I actually had a company that I sold where I was kind of the same way, where I was like, oh, should I have done that? Like, was that dumb because I'm just starting another one? Yeah.
But sometimes it's just the missing knowledge, right? Like, I think for that vehicle, the 89 Nissan Sentra, I didn't know how to get into keeping up with it. It had a small oil leak here and there. And it, not looking back on it, now I have the resources knowledge-wise to be able to do something about it. Back then, I didn't, right? You have everything online now. You can find there, there's Google, there's forums, there's YouTube channels, right? There's group meetups, right? Before, it was probably just word of mouth, and it was harder to kind of grow into the knowledge base there.
Yeah. Well, and then you're looking at like, well, if I'm going to go get it fixed, it's going to cost more than the car is worth.
Yeah, that's true.
Or even, this is before carparts.com, but, you know, even finding the parts could be tough. And, it's hard.
Yeah. I mean, look at the e-commerce business, right? You got carparts.com. You got plenty out there, right? But you can get this in a snap of a finger 2 days later, right? You can plan your weekend, reasonably priced, right? And a lot of those parts are very reliable where if you order them, you know that you're going to be able to just make the change and get back on the road. And also, if you're just customizing it, you can look at what your options are, price points, and different applications there. So, I mean, that wasn't too readily available unless you went physically down to the store.
Yeah, yeah. Or a junkyard to try to find the piece. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole different type of adventure.
Yeah, just for that one part, it's all hit and miss then, right?
Yeah. And you could waste a whole lot of time trying to find it and not finding it and going back and forth. So I think it's just, those things are supposed to happen maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Download the CarParts.com app and accelerate convenience with access to over 850,000 auto parts at your fingertips. We make it easier to find the parts you need anytime, anywhere. Get it now on the Apple App Store and Google Play. J.C. Whitney is back. The original auto parts catalog, a garage staple and cultural cornerstone for over 100 years, is now a magazine. Whether you're a newcomer or a longtime gearhead, J.C. Whitney instills confidence by delivering expertly curated auto parts and a gateway to engaging community experiences, entertainment, resources, and inspiration. Learn more about the new J.C. Whitney at jcwhitney.com.
So are you going to stick with the 4Runner? No plans on...
Yes, I'm going to do so for I'd say another 4 to 5 years. There's always something that you can do to your project cars or so, right? So I want to build more of the exterior. I kind of got the suspension done.
Did you put the tent on top yet?
Not yet. No. Yeah, so that's the next thing that I need to do. It's that and the bumpers, custom bumpers. Yeah. Yes. So I did the suspension. I rebuilt the top end, the heads to the top. And I'm doing more of the rooftop experiment now. I'm trying to figure out what to do with the top and also the bumpers. But I have an additional project that is always ongoing. It's another platform. It's the BMW 80 series.
Oh, nice.
And that's been my baby. I mean, that's one where I learned my lesson on letting go of some cars in the past, where even if I'm not into it for a season or two, I won't get rid of it. Yeah. I won't get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll still be useful. I had a friend in high school that had an 80s BMW. And I remember one time we came out of the high school parking lot and he just, I don't know what the heck he was doing, but he hit it too hard and we literally got on the street and then it did like 360s before we stopped facing the opposite direction. And that's my memory of that car.
That's scary in a little small tin bucket car like that.
Oh, yeah. Know? Well, it's the windows are Actually, yes. That's one of the things I love about it is the windows. You're so open.
Yeah.
You could see everything and take the crap out of them.
I don't condone this, but, I ran the carpool lane because of circumstances and it's no tinted windows. You could see in and out, and sometimes I see motorcycle officers pass by and they're kind of like, nice car. I mean, you could tell I'm driving it on my own because, the traffic is flowing, but you're totally right. You can see in and out.
Bubble.
Yeah. It's like a bubble. You're just a fish in a tank.
I think that's what makes it fun though. Cause I had that reminds me, my next door neighbor, how I learned how to drive stick was on my friend that I grew up with. He had a BMW like that. And went to a parking lot. And that's how I learned how to drive stick.
I love the fact that they are stick as well. Yeah. And it's a new security system, right? Not everybody can drive that now.
No, it's not that hard. Maybe it is.
Well, first of all, it's stick, right? So not everybody can drive that. Second, it's European layout.
Yes.
Which is a little more, above than regular stick, right? And then, my car is, it kind of stands out. It's got gold rims, a midnight purple color.
Oh,
so
nice.
I leave the windows down and people admire it more than they want to just steal it and go for a joyride. I'm sure they'll steal something else.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Well, no, that's an awesome car.
Yeah, and, it is.
I think it's a good mix, the two dream car solution where you have the project car and something practical.
Yes.
And then you could be happy.
Yes.
Just don't sell it all the time.
That's what I'm trying to do. I actually have a third car.
Oh, you do?
Just so that I don't get rid of one of the two project cars.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. What's the third car? Is it practical?
It is. It's actually a nice family sedan, four-door BMW 535i.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that one I don't touch at all.
Yeah.
All I do is maintenance. Go, if I need something, go online. CarParts.com, look at the website. It's going to be here. Take care of it. Done. Maintenance, and it's nothing else to deal with. Yeah.
Yeah. No, have one that you could always find stuff for and that there's a zillion of, so it'll be fine.
Yeah.
No, that's smart. I think that's a good mix. Yeah. Three-car mix.
I've learned.
You've learned.
I've lost many.
How many cars was that?
Oh, man. I think I'm on the seventh now.
Seventh?
Yeah. I had a time where I was into motorcycles.
Oh, okay.
So, that took a big chunk of my life, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And you're alive.
I'm alive, yeah. Statistically speaking, I'm doing really good.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, it's funny. I thought about that because everybody's always like, you know, the donor, what do they call them?
Donor cycles. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, well, my extended family has ridden motorcycles since I was a child.
Yeah.
And they've all survived. And I'm like, maybe you should just be careful.
Yeah. I mean, but you can only do so much where other people are the ones who are probably, you know,
but I think awareness and then experience makes a big difference too.
Yeah.
And following the rules.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I go back to the experience, right? Like now I know like where to kind of cut it off, and I've been riding for a long time. So I get back into my project cars and keep those a little more safe, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, I think that's a good mix. So what motorcycle right now?
At one point I had two at the same time. I just had two different styles. And once I decided to move away from it, I just exited that scene. Not that it's not in me.
And you can always go back to it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I think that's the one thing about car culture that's really cool is that, you know, nobody minds if you leave and come back. Like, absolutely. You're not allowed back here.
Absolutely. I've made some of the best friends through the automotive culture, you know. I keep in touch with some of the people who have helped me out so much with my projects. Mm-hmm. You know, I tend to think that I can find a lot of stuff online, but then application wise, when you physically go into doing the project, you need a little confidence, and a buddy that has probably been through something like that is very resourceful. So
car gives you people. Confidence, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and if not, I'll just blame them. Let them come over on the weekend.
Hey, jerk. Yeah. That didn't work.
Hey, you missed something. Do you mind coming back on Sunday morning? I got to go to work on Monday.
Hey, that's cool, though.
Yeah.
It helps connect with people more than, you know, probably you're even planning on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so many times have I gone into a store and I've seen someone struggling with their vehicle, and it's like, you know, you can see their facial expression. They're just, you know, worn down, they're just beat down, and it's something so simple, you know, like you have a loose ground connection or something, you know, or when was the last time you changed your battery? Or let's do some diagnostics. Maybe it's a little fuse, you know, and it's very stressful, right? Oh, like you're very resourceful. You're very, again, you're adding cookies in your cookie jar.
There you go.
You can give some more information to people.
And you can share it with other people afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, and I really like how in car culture, you can bounce around to different aspects and nobody's going to think twice about it for the most part.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. There's always that one guy, though.
There's always a jerk.
Well, you know, my car, and, you know, we only run this kind, and I would never drive that. There's always that one guy, but, you know, it's like that uncle you just allow.
That's its own kind of punishment, is being, you know, that restrictive with yourself. True. Or stubborn.
True.
And I'm like, no, everything's good. You know, just try it and figure it out. And if you don't like it, that's fine, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But I will say that it is awesome having a friend, because sometimes you'll be, I mean, you go back through the steps. You're like, I did everything right. This is exactly how it's supposed to be. And it's still not working. And then you'll have that friend that's like, oh, yeah, did you flip this switch?
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh, yeah, exactly. So many times I've had to back away from the project because I'm just defeated, and I'm just going to mess something up even more. And then, you know, half an hour later, I'm talking to my buddy or whatever, and he sends me a link. It's like, hey, have you seen this? And it's frustrating because you're like, I already saw that. And then about an hour later, they're like, hey, did you do this, though? And it's like, oh, let me try that
pretty
tomorrow.
Much.
Yeah, let me try it tomorrow. And you get up and you actually do it because you don't want to admit that you probably
didn't do it.
And then it's like, oh, there it is. And it's like, oh, yeah, actually, I found the problem. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't what you advised.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, for sure.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I think, it's great talk. I love talking about, you know, the cars that you lost. But at the end of the day, I think everything's supposed to happen for a reason. So.
Yeah.
You know, even if you did, you made your friend super happy.
Yeah.
So that's awesome with that vehicle. For me, no, I'm still frustrated. Wish I had my FJ. The FJ was, because it was an 08. It was like the first year it came out. So I'm like, that's like a collector's item.
It is now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're restoring those and selling them for, you know, high value and stuff.
When I was in a better financial situation, I went back. I'm like, well, I could just buy another one. But at that point, it was like, you know, three times as much as I had originally bought it. And I'm like, I can't spend that much money on a used car that's like,
it's
gets 14 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, it's just at that point where we're just trying to live that dream back in time.
Yeah. No, there's new dreams. Yeah. You go make them.
Yeah. There's Teslas out there.
There's Teslas. That's why I have a bunch of those.
Yeah. Those are good too. You know, you find those stuff, the stuff you need for those cars too online too. You know,
yep.
2 days later, click, click, and it's there. Delivered.
Good. Mess with the car. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I'm still waiting for my Cybertruck though. That's.
I mean, a lot of people are.
That looks... According to the thing, I'm like 2027 at this point. I'm like, this is.
I would give up that second gen for maybe a Tesla truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just so unique. And I'm like, who knows what people do to this thing? This is a crazy platform. So yeah,
I'd put an LS in there too. Yeah. Or a Cummins engine in there, you know?
Just be like, check this out. No, I just want to, you know, I live in Texas, so I just want to smoke all the Fords and Chevys.
Oh, yeah. You definitely will. Yeah. You silently will, like a ninja down there, you know?
Be like, and I'll be drinking coffee while I do it. Like, I'm not even trying.
Whiz by. Zoom. What was that?
I didn't hear anything. It's
like, yeah, exactly.
It's a silent killer.
Yeah. So, you know, first generation EVs, right? You may want to keep them. Those would be those collectors, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll see. Or it'll just be like the electric toaster oven, and you're like, yeah, they're still cheap.
Yeah. I mean, you probably want to stay away from first generations too, when they haven't ironed out all the kinks in the.
There's no kinks.
No, you don't think so?
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I don't know. I think everything does.
Well, if you look at it, I actually have a 2019 3 and a 2022 3.
Okay.
And the difference between the two is pretty significant, where right. I'm like, I really don't like the 19.
Yeah, you see, you're already making leaps in the technology just within the year span.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, it's all the possibilities out there.
Yeah. So. Well, continue making memories with those, right?
Yes.
With the kids and some more family members, friends, right? And we'll probably have better conversations about the memories we had with them, not about just letting them go.
Yeah. And then you get to talk about the letting it go too, which is good. And now you got 4Runner stories. So
yeah. And FJs.
And FJs.
Yeah.
Oh, my FJ. Yeah. I'll still probably get one at some point again. Just I just love that.
It's a Toyota. It'll still be running around.
It'll still be running. It's probably the same. I'll just buy the same car again. I'll just find it back here.
You just got to change the paint.
Change it. Oh, yeah. I had the bright yellow with the white roof.
With the white roof, huh? Yeah. Not a cream color or anything?
Oh, no. It was like the yellow. It was when they were doing real off-roading. Like, the whole thing is geared for off-road. And so, because I was like, oh, that's why it has a white roof, because that'd be really easy to see if you get stuck somewhere from the sky.
Yeah.
And also yellow. Nobody's going to miss yellow.
The safety yellow.
Yeah, safety yellow. It was ugly as hell. I was going to wrap it, but whatever. Yeah. Don't have to worry about that now.
Yeah. No, I get you.
Well, thanks a lot, Robin, for coming on. Great stories, and I hope it works out with your new cars.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
All right, and thank you guys for listening. For more stories like these, tune into the In the Garage podcast at carparts.com.